We'll go ahead and get started.
Today is Thursday, March the 16th, yes. 2017, Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting. The time is now 2:40. It's 2:40, right?
Mm-hmm.
P.M.
All right. So do we need to stand, I guess?
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Moment of silence. All right. Well, I guess we need approval of the meeting agenda, and I guess who can approve that?
You can.
I approve. Okay. We need approval of the minutes of the recovery plan meeting on the 21st of February. Who can approve that?
You can.
I approve. Okay. All right. Old business.
It was flying. All right. Talk about
it. Hey. Better be better
move. Yeah, yeah. I'm like a certain Mr. Doctor from this. I guess since the last meeting, we but it was good news. We did get the $1.3 million payment from GH&G to close on the 10th Street property. And went by there today. Dude, they're not messing around.
I just left there. I was seeing them finishing, digging the hole, and getting ready to put the tanks in, and putting the cement.
It looked like a huge site now, because you know, the majority of the trees are gone.
Yeah.
And it's a big foundation, and now they're going to start putting up walls, man.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God.
I spoke to several of the residents that were there, because I was, you know, with his house and the other guy, and they said, wow, they really going to town. I said, yeah. It's going to be a gasoline station and a restaurant. And they asked if it was going to be a Mexican restaurant. I said, si, senor.
You never know. They might put a taco truck in front.
Taco bus.
Hey, don't say taco bus too much. They were on dairy dining.
They build it out. That might be a good place for a father's mom to put their restaurant if they don't like that location.
No.
It's probably more cheaper on the outside.
Well, one of that person said they needed Publix there. And I said, yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so. Yeah, Publix like, y'all are a little too small for us.
That's right.
So,
they're moving
right along. I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
We got some nibbles about the Auburn Manor property. I haven't responded to the guy. But the owner of the surrounding property gave us a proposal a couple months ago to whereby they would put in access for us, they'll pay for the cost and all that, give us access to the property. I guess in exchange for them being able to sell the property and not go through our property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Now, that is exactly where?
Just south of the expressway. Harden Expressway.
Okay.
There's like 250 acres in there.
Okay, we're talking.
We've got 17 acres in that 350.
Now, with this recent news of grasslands in the dump, that's the old Lakeland dump us people that have been around forever know, and all this radiation.
We did an environmental.
Okay.
And stuff, because you know, HUD makes you do an environment prior to buying it, and stuff. And all the environments are within acceptable levels. And the only thing we would need to do would be like maybe that there's some of the land that's wetlands. So, but as far as the contamination, some of that. No, it's very, very, very minimal. You know, that we have to do nothing like what you got with that grasslands and stuff. So, not even close.
Good. Do we need a letter from Congressman Ross to get it through?
He's on the spot. He said, well, that. We weren't even talking about that. So right now, I thought I was over Plant City. And the EPC was just doing unnecessary flights over that property. So that was in today's paper.
I didn't see that, but good. Great. Yeah.
So, I just got the guy at his home. So he's. I was going to listen what the loads are at his house.
So, he over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, he's a
grasshopper. Oh. Yeah. I was just over there visiting at the Azalea Park and had dinner with a gentleman, a friend of mine. Where Azalea Park is, it's right there as you go into grassland on the right.
Oh, okay. And Carlos' buddy, John Cotton,
who?
Out there too.
Who?
he lives in the condo section, though. I was going to let Valerie give the good news on the other part of the update and stuff. So I'll see if she want to add anything. We should be closing on Williamstown tomorrow. So, and then let her share the process. That's her baby.
Yeah.
Okay. See. Anything else? Phase one, we finally got some comments from on Westlake Phase 1 on a demo disco application, but they were just as crazy as they want to be in comments. They were claiming that documents were not submitted, and they called that being incomplete, but I don't think, Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't even submit if your application is missing documents, right? For a demo disco application, you can't even. You know, it won't even accept the submittal if your document's missing, right?
No, it does, but you know, again, before they used to call you and say, okay, send me this, send me that, but right. This time they, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to have a call with them next week because the document they said was missing, I immediately sent to them. And then they had a spreadsheet they said we didn't fill out, but that spreadsheet wasn't part of the application. So. But we'll fill that out. That's a simple little, that was like a little chart, really. And we'll go from there. And then we got to, probably within a couple of days, finish the relocation plan and then submit that as well.
That's what we're all set to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're still on schedule for a July, August closing. Although the brothers had August, September. And then also, they got in the application for the green reuse on March 6th. And so, waiting to hear on that.
It is Christmas. No stack.
Valerie.
Yes.
Perfect timing.
Okay.
You want to share some good news about what I said, because since it's your baby, I'll let you give that update.
Oh, okay. Well, at 9:47 a.m. on Sunday morning, got notification that HUD's Office of General Counsel had three little minor comments to the evidentiary package that we submitted, and they're item was that is all these only things that need to change. As soon as you change them, we can close. Are you closing this week? Yes, we are. We're closing tomorrow. So I apologize for being late. We were trying to get everything to the closing attorney so we can they can tell me the amount of the wire, because everybody's got to have their money hit tomorrow.
Cool. So we're set to go.
Set to go. It's going to take 2 weeks for the site work contractor to mobilize. We'll have a pre-construction meeting on March 30th, which I guess is a Thursday, at 1 o'clock at the architect's office. So in 2 weeks, you should actually see heavy equipment out of the clearing. Oh, 2 weeks from Monday, you should see the clearing on the site.
Sweet. So we're all ready to go.
We are ready to go.
And that's what we wanted.
We'll try and move as fast as Circle K.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have to move faster than Circle K. I got expansion deadlines.
Well, we have to build the first wall first.
No, we have to. We have to.
Got the yoke.
We're the frontier.
I don't think. I think we're so far inland. And. That we don't have to worry about a wall. They'll get to Miami before they get there. And so, and you know they're not coming from Georgia because they got to go through the Panhandle. So that's the worst place for them to try to get through to coming up from Texas, right? So probably it'll have to be like the Olympics. We need to make sure they have a trailer with showers and cots. I'm serious. We didn't close.
What's the cot?
The cots to sleep on.
Cots.
Yeah, got cots.
Oh, I thought you said cotton.
No, cots.
You forgot that we have boxes.
Mine is by way of the deep south.
See, we're from the island. Yeah. So, you know.
Do I need to let Home Depot know to be ready then? We'll have the trucks ready to go.
Part of Thursday's pre-construction conference is I need to actually sit down with the contractor, get a list of all his subcontractors. We have to clear to the third tier and all of his material suppliers. They also have to give us a list of all of their employees, so I'll know if they got any new hires from the project. Because that's when we get into the Section 3 MBE. Right. So before he actually puts anything more than his sign up on the site, I need to have them nail down everybody and get the participation. So when we come back for April's board meeting, I'll be able to tell you who all the subcontractors are, whether or not they're minority or women-owned business, and what that does for our percentages. And then we'll also have to coordinate with Youthville to go ahead. I know this cycle won't be a part of Williamstown, but at least we'll be up out of the ground when the next cycle comes up. So.
Okay. Excellent.
Alright. And the developer is still working on the financing for phase two. They're shopping the credits right now. And investors have gotten over the initial shock of the election. And so the market is starting to stabilize a little bit. It's not quite where it was. But Raymond James has agreed to honor the $1.13 for credit for phase one. And right now, the developer is kind of expecting, like say, $1 for the credits. And if we get that, we'll be in pretty good shape. Although some are saying 92 cents, and if it's 92 cents, that's not as good. But knowing too, they can probably get at least $1 or more for the credit. So, and we will see.
So, we wouldn't be calling this Trump Towers, right?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah. But I guess at some point we will need to come up with a name, you know, for the property. And but you know, we got plenty of time. leave it at the front desk. Yeah.
But if you want to see the president, just go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's what he eats.
That's what he eats.
Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll take a bucket with me when I go home.
Well, you don't want to do that. He put on a lot of weight. He talked about his contestant who had won the Miss USA or whatever.
Yeah, he said
he might want to stay off their fried chicken.
He said he loved KFC and Taco Bowls.
From Taco Bell?
From any of the taco places.
Yeah, wait a minute. Now, you know that basketball, right?
Hmm?
Yeah, he said he wanted him to ship it. He wanted him to make it and go back home.
Yeah.
Well, now, if he can be out playing golf, how many times now has he been out playing golf? At least nine.
Yeah.
Getting exercise to burn that chicken off, then I can take him a bucket. He can.
Well, see, golf, it, you know, I know. Golf is exercise, but they're walking and riding the golf cart. So him playing golf is not going to help him.
I'm drinking beer.
Yeah, it's not going to help him. Because think about it. What's the one that does the, Daly? He's the one that's the spokesperson.
Yeah.
You see how big he is? He drinks beer.
No, every one of my friends that play golf only, they're big. So,
Okay.
I forgot.
Well, no, the camera's not on.
No, then.
Oh, yeah, but.
Brenda will skip that part.
Yeah.
Public record doesn't exist.
So that's pretty much it with Westlake. Like I said, moving on slowly but surely. And one other thing too, we're shared with this committee, but not really shared with the full board.
Okay.
We got the FDS submission in, and on the recommendation of Berman Hopkins and Clifton Lawson Allen, we submitted a request to have the recovery plan reduced. I mean, the amount of funds owed under the recovery plan reduced, because we used a strategy to basically submit some certain costs to be written off. Because a good point was, like, at what point did public housing have $3 million to loan to business activities and stuff like that? So we went back, did a lot of research and all of that, and that can show what we've been arguing to have that paid off. And so we'll find out. And even if they only allow a portion of that, still good. So, but once we hear a few months, we'll let y'all the full board know. But for now, we'll tell you some of the FDS on time. That's it for the recovery plan update. Unless you have any questions.
No. No questions. We're moving right along.
We're
doing good.
For housing operation, everything's going well. We were selected out of 128 housing authorities that apply. They selected 10 for the demonstration of the UPCS voucher new inspection system. Basically, housing authorities in the future are going to have to send the inspections directly to HUD instead of going through our own system and then to HUD. It's going to be our tablets are going to be connected to the federal government, and the inspection is going to go straight to them.
So it'll be electronic transfer, everything.
Mm-hmm. Every time that we go to a unit, it's going to go straight to the feds.
How is it now?
Now, it's in the tablet, but goes to my system for Jardy. Then we have to match that with all the information. Then we send it to them once a month. But now it's going to be like instant replay live. You can send it right away.
So when will we put it in Yardi?
It's not going to go to Yardi anymore, the inspection. So they're going to just go straight to them. And we're going to have to gather any information, statistical information from their own system. Based on my conversation with them, what they're trying to do is to create their own system for everything. So I don't know how that's going to, because every time the HUDs try to create their own computer system, it just doesn't work because it's just too much information. You would have to have a huge software to do that, and that costs a lot of money, and, you know, now I don't know. But they're going to come here on the 28, 29, and 30 to train the staff on how to use the system. Other than that, we're changing floors and cabinet and CISO Goldberg, but, you know, I'm painting the units with my colors.
He is very eclectic.
Long as they're happy.
Yeah. Our resident commissioner is very happy with her unit.
That's the voice of the customer, and that's the best thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. We were concerned about that wall, but
I was afraid. No, she liked it from.
I know.
But I was the one like, oh my God, Carlos, where did he get this color from? She's like, oh, it's beautiful. He looks at it.
See, but
I had my glasses on when she said that.
I spent time, you know, reading
Cosmopolitan. What's the color?
He's like a beige, apricot.
He said it's brown, but it looks orange. Wait a minute.
Orange?
Yeah, I got a picture of that. Like
orange or a light orange?
Light.
No, it's light. It's light. Yeah.
It's burnt oranges.
Yeah, it's light.
Well, that looks just like the color in my house.
See, I'm telling you.
In Ecuador.
And your wife picked it out right.
The building at Renaissance, when they ran out of paint and had to paint it that color, that's the color.
Well, see, when your wife is not from a different, when she's from the continental U.S., she says, what? Carlos bought how many? I'm like, how many gallons did he back? And we take the paint back. You know, I'm like.
Did you get it cheap?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
It was a dollar a can.
As long as it wasn't Oops paint at Home Depot. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm sure it was Oops paint. They said, oh. But not if you're from the islands, right?
They told me we need a really good deal.
Really good deal.
Yeah, because I was like,
I don't need to see the color. Just give it to me.
And you know what tops it off? The chair that she got by the wall is like green. So I was I was stuck. Like, it kind of.
See, before I paint, I always ask the ladies, "Hey, do you like this? Do you like this?" And then they go like, "Oh, that's pretty, right?"
I guess he's saying I'm not a lady. He didn't ask me.
No.
He asked the staff, he was holding a rubber band in his hand. Anything else? Go.
All right. What's next?
Financials.
Cementing as written, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we weren't serious?
We laughed and then we looked down.
I know. Everybody,
I remember we were recording the meeting.
I know, but look, Rick would say, Valerie, she didn't want to submit this written. She's trying to charge. But at least the financials are good news to report, too. You start off with COCC. It does have a net operating loss for the period of $6,802. For the year to date, it's positive $6,094.
So it's 11,000 negative?
No.
It's
no, but that's what it's on the dividing. See, it's got operating income
is
loss.
It, you feel that maybe you feel.
Right here.
Is it in order?
Oh, this here? Yeah. That's a percentage.
Yeah.
That's a percentage. He's looking at operating income loss before depreciation. He's looking at the percentage. The variance.
Oh, yeah. That percentage gets screwed with the numbers because the budget is $57. So that's why your percentage is so far off. But if you, I'm sorry, but if you actually look at the NOI, and I guess I should be looking before depreciation, but after depreciation is, for the period, it's negative 6,802, but for year to date, it's 6,000. It's positive 6,094. The issue is the timing of some funds that we have coming in. They should hit in March, and we didn't get them for January, February, so that's why you see the loss in the period. So we'll have 3 months coming at one time in March. And then on the balance sheet, always put that side by side with the changes in cash. According to the balance sheet, we should have a total cash of $56,000. The cash statement says 58, which lets me know I got a couple of checks that hadn't cleared yet. But as far as anything that's outstanding or jumps out, it's not. The cash is pretty consistent with what's reported. On Housing Choice Voucher income, well, Housing Choice Voucher program, I'm sorry, for the administration and for HAP, we both have a net operating income loss for the periods as well as one for year to date. And this situation is due to a delay in us receiving the HAP payments. We have some port in HAP where we hadn't received the income from the housing authorities. Also, we have government regulations that require us to obligate. We have, if you look on the cash flow statement and balance sheet, you'll see that there is $376,000 in restricted cash. That money has to be used towards actually setting out new vouchers for residents that need Section 8 vouchers or for absorbing reporting vouchers. So that's, those are the two reasons why we have a net operating income loss on Section 8, admin, and HAP. We've got to get that $376,000 distributed to clients either by absorbing them from other housing authorities or issuing new vouchers. And then for the ones for the housing authorities where they're still porting in, that income is due to timing. Once we get that, it should have hit in January, February, but it hasn't hit yet. So that's a timing issue, similar to COCC. Okay. Public housing. Well, thanks to Mr. Stevenson closing his deal at the intersection of Florida and 10th, you look at the net operating income for public housing is actually $1.3 million after depreciation. Also wanted to point out that if you look at net operating income, even if we didn't have the sale of that property, you see it was positive for the period as well as for year to date. And that is because the public housing team has really been working diligently to tighten up expenses, because when Westlake 1 is closed and we're going to demolish 19 units, we won't be getting as much subsidy. So they're prepping for having less income for operations. So this is evidence that the staff is working hard to do the items that are necessary to be more efficient with the dollars. And then also I wanted to point out, when you look at the rental income, they're actively collecting rents. You'll see that their rent collections is positive 5%. So, and they're also obviously not having issues with tenants on late rent or damaging the units, because you don't see any activity in other tenant income where we're actually going after late fees or trying to get them for damages to units, which is why that number is negative. But it's good to see it negative. It means they're the ones that are paying timely.
Good.
Then when you look at the balance sheet and compare it to the the cash, changes in cash, the balance sheet reports that we should have $2,492,088 in the account, and we do. Also, when you look at, let's see, our restricted cash and you compare it to our obligations, you see that we have about $51,000 in security deposits, $52,000. And that's why we have restricted $52,000 for security deposits and another $16,000 for our commitments with FSS escrow, when our actual FSS due to tenant long term is around $12,000. So we do have cash set aside to take care of obligations if they come due, people moving out or successfully finishing the FSS program. We have money restricted within our cash to cover that. Dakota Park Partnership, NOI before depreciation is $1,146. It's $2,128 for the year. Their rent collection is 5% higher than the budget, so they are also actively collecting rents. So they're not having issues with tenants paying late and having to pay late fees or damaging the units, which is why the other income is low. We are receiving from the subsidy that we received for the first 2 months of January. It is slightly less than what we had anticipated by almost 6%. But overall, we're still able to have a positive NOI for the period and for year to date. And when we look at the balance sheet against the cash, there should be $35,377 in total cash, and we actually are hitting it to the penny. And then when I look at restricted accounts, we have $20,000 in reserves for replacement, as well as another $10,000 for security deposits, which matches our liabilities. So again, if something came up and we had to do some emergency work at the site, or if someone moved out and we had to return the deposit, we have cash set aside to do that. Renaissance at Washington Ridge also has a positive NOI. Before depreciation is positive $13,000 for the month, $24,000 for year to date. Their rent collections is 3.15% above what we anticipated for the budget, but you can see they're actively collecting rents. We were slightly over budget for tenant services, which is a good thing. That means March 24th is actually a spring event that they're going to have out at the property. It's going to be neighborhood-wide, so it'll be more than just some Renaissance residents. And part of that, a cost that you see where they've rented the showmobile from the city of Lakeland, so they can have a fashion show or is it a talent show? It's a fashion show?
Yeah.
Next week, the 24th.
It's both.
Oh, okay, it's both. And they have some other events. So this is, when you see a spike in tenant services, it's because we actually have an event for that particular period. But also, if you look at year-to-date, I mean, it's well due that we have some type of activity because they're still below budget for what we plan to do for the year. Then when you compare the balance sheet to the cash, statement in cash, we should have $1,238,849 in the account. We're within $300 of that, and that, again, that goes to private checks not clearing yet. But when you look at what we should have restricted in replacement reserves, FSS escrow, and security deposits, they match our liabilities on the liabilities side and equity side. And the cash reported is consistent with what we have in the bank accounts. Colton Meadow has a positive NOI for the period of $8,689 and for year to date $15,982. Their rent collection is as anticipated. They did, you see some spike of where they've actually had to go back and go after residents for paying rents late or doing damages to units. So you see that number spike for the period. But when you look at the year-to-date budget, it's what we anticipate we would have in damages or late fees. And then when you look at the balance sheet and compare it to the cash statement, we should have $691,000 in cash. We do. Again, we have, if you look at our liabilities on security deposits and operating reserves, we do have that set aside. It's about $441,000 for operating, another $25,000 for security deposits, $118,000 for replacements if we have any issues. And again, cash is consistent with what we anticipated cash to be. So there are no issues to report with that property. Bonnet Shores has a negative NOI for the period of $864,000, a positive NOI for year to date. Things that are happening with Bonnet has been mainly work that we've been doing to improve the property with painting, new security system, etc. Bonnet Shores is the property that last year, as of December 31st, 2016, had paid off all the deferred developer fees. So now they don't have to hold money back.
I'm spending all the money.
And he's proud of it. So improvements.
We're not building a wall there, right?
Maybe.
There might. That's the close to the frontier,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's part of the county, so that's the city.
Yeah, that's the city. So they are just got the settlement statement, so now I know how much money we got to wire for the closing tomorrow. But yes, I know. It's becoming real. When they tell you how much money to pay, you know you're in good shape. When we look at the balance sheet, we should have $799,000 cash. We have about that amount in ending balance. It's the difference of $300. Again, we have money for operating reserve and replacement reserves, as well as our liabilities associated with security deposits are covered. So there's nothing glaring about Bonnet Shores. West Bartow has a positive NOI of $6,593 before depreciation for the period, $16,754 for year to date. Their rent collections is on schedule with what we anticipated, but they're 5% higher than the budget, and they are actively going out after tenants who are paying rents late or doing damages to units, because you see that number spike. It's more than what we're collecting, more than what we budgeted. And then when you look at the balance sheet and compare it to changes in cash, we should have about $522,000 in cash. It's showing an ending balance of $551,000, so I know that that's checks that are outstanding that need to be cleared. And if you look at replacement reserves, we have the $205,000 restricted. We're matching the security deposits. The liability shows we should have $9,250 plus another $900, roughly $10,000. We have $10,088, so there's nothing glaring about the Bartow statement. And Hampton Hills, we're in a new year. So we finally see a positive NOI for the period and year to date. We're collecting less rents than what we anticipated, but again, we have a resident that is not working, that we have to come up with some self-sufficiency measures to try to get him where he can pay his rent and eventually purchase a unit, at least.
Yeah. What I, one of the meetings I had yesterday was with the financing company,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to them about financing the remaining units. They didn't say no.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll see where that goes.
Right. And then remember AMP4, it's not going to get any operating subsidy this year for from HUD.
Any year.
Well, I know. They're pushing. It's a lease to purchase, so we either have to help the families that are living in the units get a loan so they can purchase, or we're going to have to give them notice and get them out and get the next people on the wait list who could potentially purchase the units. And if you look at the balance sheet, there should be $232,000 in total cash. It is, to the penny, $232,745.75. We've got our restricted security deposits, which match the tenant security deposit. I guess that's their down payment assistance. So there's nothing glaring about it. And then last but not least is UPhil. They do have a negative NOI for the period and year to date. And again, that's timing of some of the reimbursable expenses between the two grants, because this report now reflects the 2014 grant that is coming to an end and the 2016 grant is gearing up. The budget is based on the whole 24-month period. And so we're... Our budget that you see that we compare it to is based on what we think our monthly cost will be, but UPhil is a reimbursable grant. So if we don't spend the money, I don't bill for it in reimbursement. So our expenditures aren't as high as we anticipated per month, but it's not that they're losing money. It's just that we don't have the expenses to bill yet. And then we still have that issue that we have to resolve with the $76,756. And even though we've made our unaudited FDS submission, we have from now until September 30th to actually work with the independent auditor to get it finalized. So we're still working on that number. And once it's validated, I will know how real that $76,000 is that is showing in PHA Master's account. But when you look at the actual operating cash, it should be around $1,800 when you pull that $76,000 that's showing out. And again, that's what the balance is in the actual account. And then we'll have to address the $76,000 with the audit. And so the last report that we have on the financials is the grant report. And so what you will see come April is that I'll finally be able to start showing expenditures against the replacement housing factor funds that's shown in the middle of the sheet, because that's the Williamstown funding and then the Hope 6 where we have the $1,000,009. You'll finally see that balance start going down because we'll start billing towards that.
Is that right?
I don't think we have any resolutions.
Yes, we do. No, I can't.
Oh, yeah, one.
Oh. Yeah. Because we need to actually get additional money in the financial advisor contract. Okay. Because we got to finish up the audit. So Berman Hopkins and CLA are fine because they're in a different pool, but IFH is in an older pool, the one from 2013. So I need to get additional authorization for IFH to continue to work on the 2016 audited financials. But we're fine as far as the auditor is concerned on the 2016 audit and CLA because they're in the same pool.
Okay. When will we send that out?
With the board package. I need to, when we get out of here, I have to go back and finish.
So we have one resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Is it to approve any amount of money?
Yeah, it'll be
put any more money for the financial advisor. Okay. IFH group and advisor going to recovery. Okay. Their task order is about to run out, so we need to add some more money because they're going to be buying something.
So do we know what the amount of money is?
Well, I have to validate. To be honest with you, I have to look at it. I know the way we have our payment system set up, when I get too close to the threshold and need to go back to get a resolution, it alerts me. So I know I need to do a resolution, but I need to also look. I have to go back to the 2013 resolution, see with the where we are with the overall, the three contracts that's in the pool, because it was IFH, Baker Tilly, and TAG, and see what I need for all three before I can actually say how much I need to go above that number. And I just hadn't had a chance to look at it.
Do we anticipate that it's going to be a large amount or just a...
Well, all the numbers you think are a large amount because you...
I mean, nothing that...
It's not going to be like a...
100,000 or, I mean...
Well, no. Okay. Typically, when we add some... Typically, we add 300,000 well, because you're talking about...
That's the amount we had last time?
Yes, because you're talking about...
Multiple firms.
Yeah. Right? No, but this is just...
Thinking about at the board meeting and what could be brought up.
That's what I'm going to make sure.
No, they're in a separate.
Okay.
I won't be here. So.
Oh, that's true. Because I got to give the update, huh? At the board meeting.
Okay. Cool. So, what's next?
New business. Anything new that's exciting?
Anybody on a diet?
Get back on Mark.
So, Kentucky Fried Chicken or the Taco Bowl?
Oh, Taco Bowl.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the Taco Bowl.
Okay.
Well, see, the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Palm Beach must be better than the ones everywhere else.
We made it to the island.
Well, and don't forget Meatloaf too.
Now, what color is the Trump Tower in Fort Lauderdale? Is that a color similar to what we?
The one that was in Miami went under, and you can actually get a government price to stay there. Yeah, it's got the gold part along with that. But you can get the government rate when you stay there.
Ooh.
Well, it's probably changing now because now it's tied to a president. So guess what? People want to live there just because.
It don't have his name on it.
Oh, okay.
No, do we have any conferences coming up I could go to?
Yeah. The one in Tampa never broke ground. He had never been successful in Florida. I think there have been at least three he's tried and none of them worked. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder about the trip. Yeah, sounds like an
interesting. Take off, then y'all can continue, brother.
Yep.
You're just a giant.
Okay.
Means a giant.
Cool.
3:28 p.m. Meeting adjourned.
Oh, we're a government entity. No one would ever think that it would be.